Are you sleep deprived? Chapter 40 of Eat Well, Move Well, Live Well, 52 Ways to Feel Better in a Week by Galina Denzel. How to improve your sleep today, and an interview with sleep researcher Dan Pardee. God has made sleep to be a sponge by which to rub out fatigue. A man's roots are planted in night as in a soil. Henry Beecher. I was a chronically sleep-deprived girl for most of my life. There was no way to know that, with symptoms ranging from chronic infections and fatigue to lack of concentration, mood swings, heart palpitations, and anxiety. I blamed diet, movement, stress, relationships, but never sleep. When I moved to a foreign country and didn't work for a year, for the first time since I was 18, I was able to get enough sleep and wake up refreshed without an alarm. My symptoms disappeared. Thinking back on the early sleep-deprived years, I falsely attributed a lot of my symptoms to stress and my workload, an aspiration for excellence, and an unhealthy affair with perfectionism. Just one more client, just one more blog post, one more article, and on the weekends, just one more party. Stubborn body fat, sweet cravings, mood swings, and unstable energy kept me company most days. If you ask me how I was doing fine. When two major life losses hit me in my late 20s, burnout hit me hard, powered by years of insufficient sleep. Like most people, I had been well aware of the importance of nutrition and movement in the prevention of disease, but sleep had eluded me. More and more studies are pointing to the powerful health-modulating effects of sleep. Researchers are looking at relationships between sleep deprivation and obesity, type 2 diabetes, chronic migraines, autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's, and different cancers. In searching for a link between stress and increased risk of cancer, it may not be surprising to find that women who have spent long periods working night shifts have an increased risk of breast cancer. However, the most plausible explanation here has nothing to do with stress. Instead, a shifted day-night schedule dramatically decreases the level of a light-responsive hormone called melatonin, and depletion of this hormone greatly increases the risk of a number of types of cancer, including breast cancer. Robert Sapolsky from Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. Why are we sleeping less, and why is the quality of our sleep suffering? Modern life has made our days long and our nights short. We're spending an average of 20% less time in bed as compared to the 1960s. We're also living more of a life under a light bulb and in front of the brighter screens of TVs and computers, with some of our electronic devices coming with us to bed and completely changing our physiology by affecting our hormones. Recently, a Harvard Medical School team released a study that compared reading paper books to reading on tablets and phones, how they each affected sleep rhythms. They found that reading via the electronically lit screens negatively impacted sleep quality, leading to fatigue the next morning. The screen's blue wavelengths of light were enough to suppress melatonin, and melatonin is a key hormone secreted as we approach bedtime. It does much more than merely help us snooze. It provides powerful protection from cancer and supports the immune system. Sleep deprivation can also lead to increased insulin resistance, making us more likely to store fat and feel sluggish. It has also been shown to lead to overeating. One study revealed that when subjects were deprived of sleep for 8 days, they consumed over 500 calories more per day. They didn't change their activity levels one bit, and that's the recipe for weight gain. Lack of sleep causes changes in hormones that regulate hunger and drive fat storage, but also changes our food behaviors. When tired, we tend to be more impulsive and choose foods that are easy while providing us with quick, delicious energy. Tired, you're more likely to open a bag of chips than bake a potato, more likely to have a bar of chocolate than whip up a protein shake. So quick, so good, and oh so easy to overeat. With lack of sleep, cortisol, a stress hormone, goes up. in turn lowering sex drive, messing up sex hormones, and wreaking havoc on the cardiovascular and metabolic systems. People who don't sleep enough are also more prone to infections. Those flus and colds that tend to come around Christmas time might seem to start with a holiday sugar overload, but the lack of rest and sleep might take the greatest toll on our ability to stay healthy. Lack of sleep is as much a holiday tradition as decorating the house and wrapping gifts these days. What about cognitive abilities? Your memory and the ability to learn new tasks are also affected. Sleep is when our mind consolidates memories, and the less sleep time you get, the poorer your recall and retention will be. If you could change only one aspect of your behavior, one that would elicit a powerful downstream effect on all biological systems and functions, it would be sleep. Why don't we see it? Why don't we get it? Could better sleep be the all too obvious, all too easy to miss mundane measure we could take to improve our health and quality of life, but don't? From our bright and sunny living room in California, Roland and I talked to Dan Pardee, a sleep researcher and creator of Dance Plan, a program that helps you track and gain control of your sleep, eating, and movement habits, helping you create the health you deserve. We asked Dan, how much sleep is considered optimal? Some important sleep determinants are duration and timing. Duration is how long you spend asleep across a 24-hour period. There are parts of the brain that are more and less active during different periods of your sleep. All states of sleep are important to the overall restoration process, so enough time spent sleeping is key. Sleep can be all at one chunk, meaning you can sleep for 8 hours straight through the night, or get 6 hours at night and sleep for 2 hours during the day. There are plenty of societies that do that and have good health and no cognitive performance issues. Timing has to do with when sleep occurs. If you're used to sleeping 8 hours and that sleep occurs from midnight to 8 a.m., but on the weekend you go to bed at 4 and wake up at noon, you're still sleeping 8 hours, but it won't have the same restorative quality as your usual sleep. Dan, how do we determine when we found our optimal amount of sleep? When I work with people to try to figure out their sleep need, we first dial in their light rhythms, and I ask them to give themselves an elongated period of time in bed. They may need only 8 hours or less, but I ask them to give themselves a full opportunity to get all the sleep they can, and then we measure that. They do that for 3 weeks. Some people say things like, no matter what time I go to bed, I just can't sleep past 7 a.m. People can be misled about how much sleep you need because they wake up at their habitual time. The timing of your circadian alertness rhythm is strongly anchored. Even if you have additional sleep pressure, your wake drive will still alert you at your typical waking time. The best thing to do is go to bed earlier rather than plan to sleep in later. What are some effects of being sleep deprived? The big point for me is that it's a whole organism effect. Generally, you can break impairment from sleep loss into two categories: physiological, like alterations in blood pressure and changes in blood sugar. The other is behavioral, like loss of coordination and loss of motivation. As you become sleep deprived, reaction time slows or you will miss things. Some of the most interesting research in this area is done by David Dinges, another sleep researcher. He's the inventor of the psychomotor vigilance test, which is a reaction time test that sleep researchers now utilize to test vigilance and alertness. You watch a screen for a signal, and as soon as it appears, you push a button as fast as you can. In the test, you're actively focusing on the screen, and you often still miss it. In a real-world condition, this leads to accidents. We have a lot of lost lives due to car accidents, over 100,000 car accidents in the US. Not only that reaction time slows, but if you're trying to learn information, your ability to form memory significantly declines if you're not sleeping. Matt Walker, a memory researcher, found that not getting enough sleep on a regular basis led to remembering mostly negative events. This can be an entry point into becoming depressed. we're seeing that people who don't sleep enough will more likely get depressed or develop OCD, etc. This is fascinating work that may help explain the connection. The physiological consequences are significant too. Metabolic impairment, cancers, and cardiovascular disease. Not getting enough sleep will cause the body to break, and that can be any physical system in the body. Dan, can you explain a bit more about light rhythms? What are some simple things people can do? We want you first to focus on timing and duration. Spend enough time in bed to get complete sleep and make sure your timing is consistent. Those are easy to track. The next step is to maintain smarter light rhythms. During the day, the light outside is a lot stronger than inside. We have specialized cells within the retina that are sensitive to light and transform it into a nerve signal. And then that nerve signal gets sent to the master clock. It tells the master clock what time of the day it is based on the amount of light that gets into the eye. We evolved with a 24-hour light and dark cycles and a lot of light exposure. Now we spend 90% of our time indoors. We're not getting much light outside, and the light indoors is so much weaker. You may be surprised. Indoor, most light measured in lux is maybe 2,000 to 5,000. Outdoors, it's over 100,000 lux. You have a lot of photons entering the eye if you're outside. Inside, that message is so much weaker. A strong message will help anchor the circadian rhythm. I was personally miserable for several years because my rhythm was not normal. I maintained a normal work schedule during the week, but I would go out late at night on weekends and my 8 hours of sleep would be shifted, getting up late. I was in a perpetual state of jet lag. A big problem today is that we acclimate to lack of sleep. You're not getting what's normal, yet you think you're doing fine. If you were to do an objective measurement of cognitive function, people would perform poorly, but their perception is that they're doing fine. They feel normal. When it comes to getting outside light exposure, is there a best time of day or amount? Well, luckily, there's a real Pareto principle happening here. Exposure to light will give you 80% of the effect in the first 20% of the exposure. One study looked at people who got 6 hours outside, and they saw that the first 30 minutes delivered 80% of the positive effect. I tell people to take all the opportunities they can to go outside, but aim for at least 30 minutes. And then what about after dark? After sundown, you want to mimic the natural environment by dimming lights in the evening. I make them dimmer and dimmer as the evening progresses. I also have a program called F-Lux on my computer, which dims and blocks blue wavelengths of light automatically. About an hour before bed, I just go and read a Paperwhite Kindle, which emits a very dim light, unlike a backlit device like a phone or a tablet. And it won't affect my rhythm. I don't watch TV an hour before bed, and an hour before that, I'm wearing glasses that filter the blue light. I try to maintain that pattern, and it seems doable for most people. What about people who live at higher latitudes where it's colder and the light is less strong? Yeah, people who live in those conditions don't get enough light. It's dimmer, and it's also inhospitable to go outside. This sets up a situation for seasonal affective disorder. I tell people to get light boxes. A study in Antarctica showed that when they added the extra strong blue light to the research station, they found that people's reaction time and mood were improved with just slightly stronger indoor light. You can buy something like the Philips Go Light and use that during the day. Where does one start with all of this? Is there an order of importance to all these interventions? The big trend now is to do one little step to get one started. At the same time, a large change can be much better. I don't feel bad asking someone to spend 30 minutes outside, turn down the lights in the evening, and plan enough time in bed. Those three things are easy. The problem with sleep is that it's mundane but meaningful. It's so easy to overlook. Dan, how does sleep environment play into all of this? Does it matter? You want to sleep in a cool, comfortable room. Make it as cool as you can while it's still comfortable. It helps to facilitate the drop in core temperature. That's an important factor for the initiation and maintenance of sleep. too hot a room will cause some insomnia or interrupt your sleep. Blackout shades are great, but I sleep with an eye mask and earplugs, and that reduces aspects of my environment that can intrude into my sleep. Light can penetrate through the eyelids, so if you slept in a lit room, you can interfere with your circadian rhythm. Neonatal children in the ICU don't develop as quickly, and we see that they have impaired performance in school at grades 3 and 5 and up until high school. This has lasting effects on physiology. Talking to Dan, I'm grateful that we have implemented these changes and grateful that we took the time to make them part of our lives. Your tasks for this chapter follow the order in which we started tuning into all the aspects of natural sleep per Dan's advice. This may take some of you a couple of weeks, others longer. Take your time and enjoy becoming a better sleeper, even just one little step at a time. Your tasks for this chapter. 1. Start tracking. Find out how long you're sleeping. You can write in your journal, use a Fitbit or other wearable device, or use danceplan.com. 2. Like Dan Pardee recommends, spend 30 minutes outside, or at least with a blue light, every day. Dim the lights or wear yellow glasses in the evening and plan for enough time in bed. 3. Spend a few weeks trying to go to bed early enough to wake up before the alarm to see if you can find your optimal sleep. Remember that you might need to go to bed earlier rather than plan on being able to sleep in. 4. Take things to the next level. Install Flux or other blue blocking software on your computer screens and other devices that you need to use after sunset. Consider taking an e-ink or Paperwhite Kindle or traditional paper book to bed with you instead of bright screen devices. Consider earplugs, an eye mask, blackout curtains, cool air, and comfortable sheets for your bedroom to ensure deeper, sounder, and even better sleep. Still curious about sleep? Consider doing some more reading. Great books to start with are Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers by Robert Sapolsky and Lights Out, Sleep, Sugar, and Survival by T.S. Wiley. You can find a full list of our sleep resources and links at eatmovelive52.com.